Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
My friends, how y'all doing today? This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. As always, we'll be joined in a second by one of our sweethearts that wants to help you every way she can, Wendy Wilson, with Apothecary Herbs. And she has a very interesting topic today. I'm anxious to hear. We'll get to her just in a minute. But again, it is Wednesday, 16 August 2023. I mean, we're over halfway through the month. Wow. Let's get into the metals and markets. And metals had a rough day today, folks. Gold finally broke under 1900, down 893 to 1893.43. Silver is down 11 cents, 2244. Platinum was down 1460 to 89220. Palladium was down 3430 to 1238.60. So the metals had a pretty rough day. But the markets did too. The Dow was down slightly, 143 to 34805. NASDAQ was down 128 to 13502. S&P was down 26. To 4411. FTSE was down 0.44% to 7356. DAX was up 0.14%, 15789. Nikkei was down 0.146% to 3176. Hang Seng was down 0.136%, 18329. USDX was up 0.29 to 10350. 10-year yield was up 0.045 to 4.266%. Oil was down slightly, 179 to 7920. So boom, up and down, and round and round we go. Nothing, it's just the way it is. But gold, now is the time to purchase, folks. As metals drop, buy. As they drop, buy, because they're going back up. Do that as soon as possible. But let's go to our guest, as always on Wednesday. It's always good to have Wendy with us because I love what she talks about. I love her enthusiasm, and she's straightforward with it. Wendy, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Butch. Always a great intro from you. Thank you so much, and glad to be with you and all the listeners. I thought we'd talk about the father of modern medicine, and that would be Hippocrates. And notice here what Hippocrates stood for. And this is what modern medicine actually based their philosophies and ethics on in the beginning. So modern medicine and historians alike called Hippocrates the father of medicine. But when we look at our current medical treatments, nothing could be further from the truth because modern medicine is not natural. Hippocrates, Pastor Butch, was all about natural. He was a natural physician, an herbalist, a naturopath, if you will, because he believed foods were man's natural cures. So his writings were often referenced in the medical community up until the 1800s. So Hippocrates would not agree with our current toxic chemical treatments and other evasive procedures to address health. And today, modern medicine kind of ignores now the writings of Hippocrates. So he was very a positive, forward thinker, Pastor Butch. His glass was always half full. If he were alive today, he would be a motivational speaker and have his own talk show. So Hippocrates empowered the individual by helping them see there is nothing that they couldn't do to improve health. So he was the embodiment of trust, and he taught his students to be trustworthy. And when you were dealing with patients, he wanted them to be ethical. So Hippocrates was the observer, and he said that patients heal faster and heal consistently when they trust their physician. What do you think of that?
Okay.
Well, here's a quote from Hippocrates, 377 BC. He said, "Unless the doctor values doing what is right more than he values money, the ideal of service to humanity is corrupted and the high purpose of health art is compromised." Wow. Stepping back in time. So what made Hippocrates so successful? He traveled the Greek kingdom, and he helped people to see the health art as a common sense approach, and that it was not a magic bullet or any witchcraft or sorcery involved. Hippocrates had no medical instruments, no laboratory analysis to guide him. Only his keen eye of observation and his intellect mind. So we refer to Hippocrates' writings. He wrote about diseases, and we see he has an analysis, and it was very insightful and no doubt included a lot of godly wisdom. He noted that every disease had its own characteristics, that disease could have stages, which he believed came from external stimulants. And what was his secret weapon against disease, Pastor Butch? Well, diet, believe it or not.
Wow.
So Hippocrates once said, "Everything in excess is opposed to nature, and to do nothing is sometimes a good remedy. Overeating causes sickness," he said.
I want to say this and move on. It's hard for somebody who's diabetic like me to do this, but fasting periodically is also very good for the body. It empties out a lot of poisons.
Right. Well, and do you know you fast nightly? Did you know that?
Yes, you do.
That's right. The first meal of the day is called breakfast, means breaking the fast. And people have fasted for religious reasons, and it was kind of a purge or cleanse, especially in the spring. A lot of times they would fast and take herbal tonics to get rid of all the toxins because they just went through a winter eating meat and beans, you know. So, fasting is a good way to deal with toxicity. Excellent point. So here's something that Hippocrates said about fatigue. He said, and it's the truth, I think. He said, "Unprovoked fatigue signals the presence of disease." So he was big on preventative health care through diet, exercise, and everything else that was sensible. So Hippocrates classified disease into two categories, chest ailments and fevers, which I thought was interesting. Now, there's also Galen. He also he healed like millions of people with using just two herbs. So, I mean, some basic stuff. So, and if you ever wonder where the saying came from, life is short, do you remember that saying? Life is short?
Life is short. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, of course.
Well, Hippocrates coined the phrase. He said, "Life is short, art is long, opportunity is elusive, experiment is dangerous, judgment is difficult." I thought this was interesting. Hippocrates was a big fan of having health groups, support, get you through, some tough times. He also said, "It is not enough for a physician to do what is necessary, but the patient and the attendant must do their part as well, and circumstances must be favorable." So sometimes you do need a little assistance. You can't do it all yourself. And in the old days, they would list a course of treatment, and they called it a regiment. So the term regiment, which means strict discipline and control, it started with Hippocrates. in his essay called Regimen, it was all about preventative health care entailing dedicated instruction on how man can preserve his life. That's amazing because, you know, our health care today isn't really about prevention at all, is it?
No, it is not. It's about making money.
Yeah. Now, Hippocrates was also the first to introduce the idea how important oxygen was to the human body. And he wrote about it in an important paper he called Breath to the Lungs, also as we know oxygen, to be, and also to the blood vessels. So he knew blood vessels, about blood vessels. He also noticed the importance of heredity affecting your health. So he once noted that there were some who refuse to follow standards of right living, so they lose their health, while others with weak constitutions can inherit weaknesses and have they would overcome them if they followed intricate and strict guidelines. And the average healthy person can simply just avoid disease. So he was noting that some people are behind the eight ball based on what they inherited, while other people seem healthy all the time. So we've often, you know, talked about that here in modern times. You know, how can people just live longer and look younger than the average person? It's genes. He was mentioning genes. So this is like 300 years before Christ. He's talking about genes, Pastor.
Wow.
I know. And then we get to the ethical conduct part. Hippocrates is most famous for his authorship of the Hippocratic Oath, which, you know, was adopted by medical science as a standard for ethical conduct. And when doctors were, you know, graduating into their doctorship, they had to take the Hippocratic Oath. You remember that?
Yep, I do remember that.
So here I'm going to read you what was the Hippocratic Oath. It says, I will follow the method of treatment, which according to my ability and judgment, and I consider for the benefit of my patients, and abstain from what is deleterious or harmful to health and well-being, and also anything mischievous. I will give no deadly medicine to anyone, if asked, nor suggested such counsel. Furthermore, I will not give to a woman an instrument to produce an abortion. With purity and with holiness, I will pass my life and practice my art. I will not cut a person who is suffering with a stone, gallstones, bladders, kidney stones. I will help them pass them and give them life and practice with my practitioners of this work. Into whatever house I enter, I will go into them for the benefit of the sick and will abstain from every voluntary act of mischief and corruption and further from seduction of females or males, bond or free. Remember that? Doctors were never to get involved with their patients. Remember that?
Oh, yes. I remember that.
It came from this. It came from this. So now, whatever.
You know, that oath today is mostly ignored, obviously.
Right. So whatever in connection with my professional practice or not in connection with my professional practice, I may see or hear in the lives of men which ought not to be spoken abroad or to divulge, as reckoning as such would be kept secret. In other words, the HIPAA laws. You can't tell another person about someone's health care. What do you think of that?
Wow.
HIPAA laws came from Hippocrates. Yep. Okay. So while I continue to keep this oath inviolate, may I be granted to me to enjoy life and the practice of my art, respected always by all men. But should I trespass or violate this oath, I reverse my own lot. Now, and you're actually right, Pastor Butch, doctors today are not required to take the Hippocratic Oath. It's been discarded as old-fashioned and unnecessary. Well, I just read you some of the key things that have come out of this oath that are now being practiced in healthcare. You know, HIPAA laws, you know, of course he mentions abortion. And he also mentions, you know, first do no harm. In other words, I won't give anything toxic to anybody. So.
I wonder how to get by with doing the chemo and radiation. I mean, gee.
Oh, I would say Hippocrates would sit right down and write a whole paper on how wrong that is. You know, and it's antibiotics even. He would tell you an antibiotic means against life. Why would you use that? you know, because your antibiotics have not been discerning between healthy, good bacteria and bad. And this is why, you know, people have side effects. Now, here are some observations. Hippocrates made some very insightful observations while practicing his healing art. Here's a few of them. For some strong foods bring pain. He said, first limit food and drink when you're sick. In other words, your immune system needs the energy that would normally go to digesting solid food. So that's why when you're sick, you may not feel hungry, because the body needs that energy for the immune system. He also noticed not everyone should eat as frequently or at the same time each day. He said, gluttony is just as harmful to the body as being malnourished. He said, don't eat a meal if the previous one has not been assimilated yet. In other words, you have to have good elimination function. He was mentioning what modern medicine has come to notice is, if you eat three meals a day, you should have three bowel movements a day, and it should be like 30 minutes after you eat. They also noticed, Pastor, that how people's bowel functions affect their walk, their gait. Okay?
Oh, and it's really? And it,
and it, yes. And it's so impressive that your government agencies study the gaits of the opposition or the enemy so they can pick them out. So if you have good elimination channels, you'll have a very smooth glide to your walking. If you have a bowel that's not emptying every day, you'll have a more rigid walk to your gait. Interesting stuff, isn't it?
Now we repeat that one more time.
Okay, so if you have good elimination, you're going more than once a day, you'll have a very smooth glide to your walk, your gait. It won't be rigid, but if you don't have good elimination, your gait won't be smooth. You'll be a bit rigid. One of the things I read was the British always have very rigid walks. They don't have good elimination. They eat way too many scones.
Okay, so, all right.
Yeah, so that kind of slows digestive tract down when you get a lot of refined flour going. Okay, some other observations he made. Waiting too long to eat between meals also strains the body. Okay, so you should be eating on time if you can. Some foods are binding, he said, drying or moisturizing to the body, and you should know which ones. He said, stimulate the bowel with chickpeas, lentils, barley, beets, cabbage, and elderberry. And he said a healing crisis signals the end of a disease. So we've talked about this as herbalists. So if you're doing cleansing and you're purging lots of toxins, sometimes you can have what we call a healing crisis, where old injuries may flare up or your joints may ache a little bit more as the toxins are removed. So he was noticing a healing crisis as well. Mild fevers cease on the fourth day or earlier. And in cases where fevers stop without a sign of recovery or crisis is a relapse indicator. The kind of irregularity the disease is most likely to bring on, a long one. So if you've got fevers coming and going, not a good thing. You've got something going on that's bad. He said after fevers, patients that take too much food get joint pain or tumors. So too much food after a fever, not a good thing. He says long-term, not a good thing. A drink of honey and vinegar is effective on acute diseases and brings up phlegm. So if you ever have, you know, phlegm, vinegar cuts phlegm really well. So does pineapple juice with the bromelain in it. He says here, when a patient has strong appetite but the condition has not improved, it is an indication for a turn for the worst. And patients left to themselves lose hope during a painful suffering, give up their fight, and no longer resist dying. So that brought to mind all those people in the nursing homes during COVID.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, he talks about reasoning. He said, in a superstitious world, Hippocrates tend to educate the world to the art of healing with food, basic knowledge, and he may not have been original in his thinking, but he did help people understand the basic knowledge of how to be well. And he knew the importance of getting the toxins out of the body and having proper elimination. He also knew the body needed balanced nutrition and nothing in excess. He knew that events and emotions can bring on diseases or hinder healing.
My gosh, it's break time. Give me information. Hurry.
Oh, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Wendy. Wow, what a fast segment. Interesting segment. My goodness. Folks, back at the break. A lot more talk about it, and we'll be joined by Melody Seastrom. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Seederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Seederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Seederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up.
All righty, folks, we are back and we're joined by, in my mind, one of the sweetest ladies in the world, the most honest people in the world that you're going to deal with. Her name is Melody Seastrom. She runs Discount Gold and Silver, and you can call her at 800-375-4188. And you catch her in a good mood, she'll talk to you. 800-375-4188. Anyway, Melody, welcome to your program.
Thank you for inviting me to my program. Thank you for being here, too. And I know Wendy does a great job, and you do a great job, and it's nice to have that trust in folks, you know. So thank you.
Yes. Well, you're more than welcome. It's an honor to do it.
You know, I was looking at what the markets were doing today, and you know, now here's this one I haven't heard before. I mean, I do a lot of reading, but I haven't heard. Now, we were supposed to be heading into the worst recession, recession / depression since 2008 and so forth, which I still think is happening. Okay, I haven't changed my mind. But CNBC comes out with an article today about experiencing a rich session. Have you heard that one before?
No, I ain't heard that one.
Yeah.
What's it mean?
Some economist says that the country is already experiencing a rich session rather than a broad contraction to come later. Layoffs have been largely limited to white-collar jobs, while the unemployment rate as a whole remains near 50-year lows. So, you know, usually a recession, you have the job losses and the lower wage incomes and so forth. Well, now you have the middle, you know, the white collar jobs that are getting whacked. And so now they're calling it a rich session.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? It's just they'll try to make anything sound a little bit nicer so people don't panic and so forth. And, you know, the demand for and wages of lower income groups are outpacing higher income groups. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. Rich session.
Yeah.
What's
they use
next?
Words to change meaning. They use words that to lessen the
I know the impact
of whatever's happening. Period.
Yeah, the impact.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this before. 61% of adults are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, to me, that's a sign of financial strain. Credit card debt is at an all-time high. That's a sign of financial strain. So, and you know what? It's and everybody talks about usually by the time a recession is declared, the recovery is already underway. You know, they're just so full of it. It's amazing. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, they've been camouflaging so much, Melody, for so many years, long before I even knew what was going on. They were camouflaging things, make it sound good. I mean, clear back to 1964 when he talked to said, the American people to take the silver out of the coins. I mean, they talked, it's going to be okay. It'll be the same value. Don't worry about it. And we bought it. We bought it.
Yeah.
So here we are.
So, okay, we're in a rich session. Anyway.
So that means folks like you and I that aren't rich aren't feeling so bad, right?
Yeah. Okay, people still got, people still have their jobs and,
okay.
Their wages are increasing. Yeah. Even though 61% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Okay. All is well. IBM plans to replace nearly 8,000 jobs with AI. How about that?
That's exciting.
Yeah. CEO Arvind Krishna announced a hiring pause in May, but that's not all. Later that month, the CEO also stated the company plans to replace nearly 8,000 jobs. Krishna noted that back office functions, especially in the human resource sector, will be the first to face those changes. So if you work in a human resource department, better start looking for another job. Anyway, I know you got lots to talk about, but I found that interesting.
Oh, I do,
Glenn,
but you go ahead and show what's on your mind. I mean, some of this will keep the Friday. We're in no hurry. You take your time.
No, I mean, that's just, you know, just one of the couple of headlines that kind of caught my attention. And so.
Well, I found out where the real money is. And if you want to join me, we'll start as a factory and do what we can because the war is a racket. You remember Smedley Butler wrote that many years ago. U.S. and NATO arms industries make record $400 billion in sales from proxy war with Russia. War is a racket. Some people profit off war, big-time profits off war. It's never those on the front line being killed, mind you. It's ones behind them that supply the bullets and machinery and reap the profits from governments that fund the wars. And that's just the way it is, people. The wars make rich people richer and decimate the common people. That's what it boils down to. Western weapon manufacturers are popping champagne corks over record sales, with total revenues hitting $400 billion for last year. According to media reports, this coming year in will set the record figure exceeded by another salivating $50 billion. So we're talking about $450 billion by the end of this year. Ukraine may be resembling a bloodbath, as we noted in last week's editorial. But apparently, Western military corporations are swimming in a bonanza of profits that stock market and stock market investments. Most of this lucrative new business stems from NATO's proxy war with Russia and Ukraine, which is heading toward its second year. There is no sign of a diplomatic effort from the West or the Kyiv regime in response just to end the bloodshed. The main corporate beneficiaries making the financial killing from Ukraine are by far the American firms. They include such behemoths as Lockheed Martin, Boeing and RTX, formerly Raytheon. But also enjoying soaring profits are arms makers in NATO and other NATO countries, BAE in the United Kingdom, Airbus in France, Netherlands in Spain, Leonardo in Italy, and Germany's Rheinmetall. So war is profitable. Very, very profitable. Always has been. The Rothschilds financed both sides many years ago in different wars with Napoleon and everybody else. They've been doing it for years. The Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Morgans always profit, and other families, from war. So as your sons and daughters follow the flag, and the flag follows a dollar bill, and they get killed in the process, they're patriots. They die for the country. They're heroes. No. I don't like to say this because I did the same thing, but we're not heroes. We're suckers. We got drew into something we shouldn't be in the first place because money is being made. And I can tell you for a fact, I was in Vietnam, Udon, Thailand area, the biggest air base in Southeast Asia. And I know for a fact they were flying drugs out there in body bags. Heroin was a big deal over there. Air America got its name because of that. So it's money, folks. It's not necessarily about territory, except for control. It's about making people rich so they can control more. Melody, I'm just laying on the line best I can. Is it making sense to you?
You know, it's been going on forever and ever and ever, and you're right. There's so much money made in wars, and regimes are changed, and the wrong people die.
And that's very true.
You're right, and it's sad to think, though, that you know people go to, you know, come to the aid of our country and being patriotic. But they're not being told the truth about things, and you can't take that away from them. You know, just like what you did, you can't take that away from you.
No.
You
did what I thought was right.
You did what you thought was right, and at that moment we can't
again,
go back and change things. And you know, you would do the same thing today. If you went back in time, you would have made those same decisions.
If I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't. But how would I know?
Well, no, but going back under the same circumstances.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known it.
You'd do the same. You wouldn't have known.
I mean, why do you think they take teenagers normally? I was 19 years old. What did I know about anything?
You're right. You're right. They're not. They don't know anything yet.
So anyway,
you're right.
Folks, that's just war is a racket.
It is sad. It is.
It is a racket. And another blow to the petrodollar. India and the UAE complete first oil sale in rubies. In another blow to dollar dominance, India and the United Arab Emirates sell an oil trade without converting local currencies to dollars for the first time on Monday, as India's top refiner made a payment for oil in rubies. Indian Oil Corporation bought 1 million barrels of oil from Abu Dhabi National Oil Company in a dollar-free transaction. Now, pay attention. I said dollar-free transaction. The oil sale was the first after the two countries entered a memorandum of understanding in July. The deal established a local currency settlement system facilitated by the Reserve Bank of India and the Central Bank of the United Arab Emirates. The system allows the two countries to engage in bilateral trade using the rupee and dirham. According to a statement by the Reserve Bank of India, the agreement will facilitate seamless cross-border transactions and payments and foster greater economic cooperation. Folks, 1970s, we made a deal with the Arab countries. You sell your oil in dollars, and we'll make you rich. Keep a proper dollar up, and we'll make you rich. Well, they did, but it's changing now. That's been 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm sure the contract's now void. But Melody, that doesn't sound like a lot. Just, you know, India and UAE are doing some business that way. But if it continues in that direction, it's going to be a lot in our pocketbooks, ain't it?
Well, you know, the thing of it is, you know, we see people turning away from the dollar, and we continue to talk about that the dollar is still the reserve currency, and it's just like the value of the USDX. You know, it doesn't have to go to zero. Our reserve position in the world is currency. It doesn't have to lose 100% for it to have a major, major impact. Look what it did. Look at the USDX when it just went to 70. They were almost ready to replace our monetary policy at that time. So, and it's just like, so these countries that, you know, are walking away from the US, yes, it does have a major impact. And again, not 100% have to walk away. I don't know what the percentage is, But I would think when at first you're doing, you know what, 89% of the world's reserves and you drop to 50%?
That's
our
hurt.
We will default on our debt. That's what that is. So, and it's coming.
Oh, it is coming. Sorry, started.
Already started.
And what that boils down, folks, is make the dollar be worth less. In other words, it's going to cause inflation with your dollar.
Things are going to cost more.
If it goes down 25%, and that means your inflation goes up 25%, how many can handle that? I mean, someone now living, like you said, paycheck to paycheck, how many can cover 25% more?
And for all of you who have your pensions and your retirements that are listening to this program, who do you think is going to buy your stocks when you want to liquidate? Who's going to be there? Venezuela. Everybody talks about we're going to be Venezuela. We were going to be the same as all the other countries that had our dollar failure. They had record high stock markets, yet people were living in the streets and they couldn't buy food.
Literally eating rats.
Something to think about.
Literally eating rats. Catching rats. That's literally what's going on in Argentina. And dogs. Anything else they could find.
I got one here.
Okay. You didn't beat up make much of a meal, though, you know.
That's what they were doing. That's what they were doing.
They were.
But their stock markets were reaching all record highs.
Inflation,
but who's there to buy them?
And when the 401ks and IRAs become worthless, basically, because the dollars are no good, worth very little, and if people work 30, 40 years, 50 years to build those up in retirement, it looks like you got a big round figure in there to make it on, and half of it disappears.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it will, because there won't be anybody there to buy them.
That's right.
Who are you going to sell them to?
Michael Snyder wrote a good article here that I think people need to pay attention. Folks, the fires in Maui were odd, say that way, but then now the truth's starting to come out. This is from Michael Snyder. Why is there such a frenzy to buy up the properties that were just burned down during the fires in Hawaii? Can you imagine calling up a family that has just seen their home burnt to the ground and offering to buy their land for below market value? This is apparently happening in Hawaii right now on a massive scale. Grieving property owners are being bombarded with calls from many very greedy people, and I think that says a lot about the current state of our society. We literally worship material possessions and financial gain, and the sheer greed that we are witnessing at this moment is absolutely staggering. Lahaina was hit harder than anywhere else by the fires, and it turns out that property owners in the area have been getting pressured to sell for a long time. So now the disaster has struck. Those that wish to get their hands on these prime properties are in a feeding frenzy. One local resident made headlines all over the world after she posted a video about this. Filming herself in a recent video, the Hawaiian resident said, "I am so frustrated with investors and realtors calling the families who lost their homes offering to buy their land. How dare you do that to our community right now? If you are a victim and they are calling you, please get their business name so we can put them on blast. She claims in the clip that she personally knows multiple families that are offered money from investors and realtors. When 2020 began, the average home in Lahaina was worth about $600,000. Today, the average home is worth about $1 million. Now there's a race to take advantage of those that have just had their home burned down. It's gotten so bad that even Governor Josh Green is speaking out against it." Boy, that is low. That's like a bunch of vultures circling around somebody's about ready to die. That's really low, Melody.
You know what's even lower?
What's that?
Our government offering $700 to those people.
Yeah, that's coming up next. We're here soon.
Yeah.
Anyway. It's coming soon. I mean, it is absolutely staggering how low this nation has stooped, and how much has slid into the abyss in just the last 15 years, longer than all together, but the last 15 years. Look how far we've slid into the abyss of immorality and greed. It's unbelievable. You know, my home's still here. It hasn't been burned away, but I get a letter about every week or two wanting to buy my home and property. I mean, I'm constantly pestered about it. They want to buy it. And they've offered me fair prices, but I'm not interested in selling it. What are they trying to do? What are they trying to buy up all this property for? Are they trying to fill Klaus Schwab's dream of you own nothing and be happy? Is that part of it?
Well, what's part of it? We're heading into break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, I guess I'll bring us back in. I wasn't sure who's going to do it, so I'll just lead the way. Usually, ladies first, but she wouldn't say anything. So here I is. We're back with Melody Cederstrom, Discount Gold and Silver, 800-375-4188. And folks, we hope that we don't only give you information. Now, we want to give information. We want you to seriously consider preparing yourself. That's what we're here for. I mean, we're not here. We'd like to just be able to sit down with you and drink less iced tea and laugh with you and have a conversation. But this is a radio show that brings forth truth and facts, trying to help you prepare and understand why you need to prepare as quickly and as much as possible, because things are going to get tough. And I know we tried to do it in a way that maybe entertains a little bit and laugh a little bit with it, but these are serious situations, folks, very serious situations. And I think it's time that we all pay attention to them, even though we cover them with a light heart sometimes. Prepare yourself what's coming. Well, anything you want to add to that?
800-375-4188.
Okay. Americans last. Homeless population grows at record pace as Joe Biden seeks millions to house illegal aliens. If this don't just cookie goose, I don't know what will. The nation's homeless population is growing at a record pace, newly published data reveals. Just as President Joe Biden seeks hundreds of millions of American taxpayer dollars to fund a massive housing development plan for the illegal aliens across the United States. Well, that's a slap in the face. The data reviewed and published by the Wall Street Journal showed that more than 577,000 Americans are homeless today, which represents about an 11% increase compared to the same time last year, an alarming pace. Likewise, among those nearly 600,000 homeless Americans, close to 150,000 are considered chronically homeless because they've been living on the streets for at least a year, and many suffer from mental illness. At the same time, Biden is making a plea to Congress to approve hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars to fund a housing development project for border crossers and illegal aliens released in the U.S. interior. Specifically, the funding measure would allow Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, to use more than $750 million to fund community-based residential facilities that would operate like a halfway house for border crossers that illegal aliens can live for free and come and go as they please between certain hours. Now, if that is not a but who cares?
Yeah.
No biggie. Don't worry about it. Go back to sleep. Go ahead, Melody.
It really is amazing the amount of money that they can give for these silly things. And, you know, there's a lot of talk today on, the inflation fighting trillion-dollar bill that was signed last year, how over $1 trillion is going to this green energy stuff. It's just such waste. And yet, and we're going to talk about it here shortly. I know you're going to bring it up. The things that really matter really doesn't matter to the people in D.C.
No, it doesn't.
No.
No, it does not. 40,000 migrants apprehended along southwest border in first 10 days of August.
Mm.
Border Patrol agents apprehended nearly 40,000 migrants along the southwest border during the first 10 days of August. The Tucson, Rio Grande Valley sectors reported more than 10,000 each. And by the way, folks, that is 40,000 people is a fairly good-sized community in the Middle.
It really is.
Unofficial reports obtained from the law enforcement by Breitbart, Texas, revealed that during the first 10 days of August, Border Patrol agents apprehended 39,324 migrants who illegally crossed the border between ports of entry. This is an average of 5,708 apprehensions per day. More migrants illegally entered Arizona West Desert leads to more rescues and more deaths. These can be avoided. Do not risk it. They said, don't cross here. The heat. They're actually giving directions. Don't cross here. It's too hot. I mean, gee. The Tucson and Rio Grande Valley sectors reported 10,867 and 10,465 migrant apprehensions, respectively. So it goes on through and talks about what's going on in Texas and Arizona. And if they literally are there to meet on the border, help them get their stuff together, and process them into the country. I wonder what could go on with that picture. I really do. And here it is. Biden promises Maui fire survivors $700 per household, less than what is spent on Ukraine.
Yep.
President Joe Biden announced Monday that survivors of the Maui fires receive a one-time, $7 payment per household after he faced criticism for telling the reporter he had no comment on the rising death toll. $700 is nothing. It's a drop in a bucket. How do you build a whole house and a whole foundation you've had for years with $700 worth nothing? His account posted, we're laser-focused on getting aid to survivors, including critical needs assistance. A one-time $7 payment per household offering a relief during an unimaginably difficult time. We have a staff on the ground dedicated to helping survivors navigate the registration process. The one-time payment of $700 per household is less than the estimated cost to each American household for the Ukraine war. Richard Stern, director of the Heritage Foundation, Grover M. Herman Center for the Federal Budget, calculated that the congressionally approved aid to the Ukraine, $113 billion amounts to roughly $900 per American household. But don't worry. You spend $900 taxes to fight Russia. Biden gave you $700 back because you can rebuild your whole house with $700. I mean, you can buy everything you need. What a sweet man. And you know, I don't believe governments get involved in finances all for people, period. But what a spit in the face for this type of these people that right now lost everything. On top of everybody trying to buy them out for nothing, Biden said, don't worry, we'll give you $700.
I mean, that's not even enough for them to find food. And
no.
And, I mean, even, you know, I don't know, you know, they have access to their banks and so forth like that to, I mean, you can't even identify the bodies. So you can't even have a funeral for those that you've lost if there's any family left. $700, if you have a family, four, how long is that going to feed you?
Maybe
and
a
everything?
Month if you're lucky. If you're lucky.
I mean, my gosh. And I agree with you. Hey, I'm not, you know, I have a problem with the government of Hawaii.
Yeah.
It took them days, a couple days to get help and so forth. Individuals, private parties found ways to take food and water, clothing. What's wrong with these governments? I saw the governor of Hawaii and he was, I'm sure he's under a lot of pressure and I'm sure, you know, who knows if he didn't have family and so forth. I get all that. But he was talking about all the horrible situations that he saw. Well, how about giving a little more confidence to the people and telling them what you're going to do?
I totally agree.
To get them to a place to where they can contact their, you know, they have a roof over their heads. And our government talks about providing housing for illegal aliens.
Spend millions of dollars for that.
Where's FEMA? Where's FEMA and their little huts?
Yeah, I agree. This is unthinkable and inexcusable.
But it's not the first time. Look at the train wreck, what they did to those people.
Oh,
it was weeks before old Buttigieg went over there. Even acknowledged it, the issues. Don't hear anything about them or how they're faring and so forth. There's still Katrina. There's still areas of Hurricane Katrina.
A lot of that area has not even been rebuilt yet. It's not even been rebuilt yet in some places.
I know. So it's shameless. It's sad. Where's the churches, too? When there's floods and hurricanes in Texas, you see people responding immediately. Fires are a little different, I think. But anyway.
Well, I'm sure. Sometimes more devastating. But in reverse of that, I just read to you about the immigration. A new crackdown law could see drivers hit with 5 years in jail and $5,000 fine for traveling with a certain type of passenger. Florida officials have doubled down on a road law that states that drivers can never have an illegal immigrant inside their car. And that's rough. But illegal means illegal. It's like calling a thief or a con man. It's illegal. You get caught with one, then I can see their point. If any driver is found transporting someone who's unlawfully, catch that word, in the Sunshine State, they could face 5 years in jail and a $5,000 fine. That's a rough law, but it must be done because no other way is going to stop it. Florida officials have doubled down on a road law that makes it illegal to drive around anyone who's unlawfully in the country. The road law came into light after civil rights groups asked a judge to throw out the ruling, claiming that they would make it unsafe for people who receive medical care, meet with a family, and go to work, CBS reports. Now, wait a minute. They're here illegally. Why do they have a right to receive medical care if they're not paying for it? Why do they have a right to meet with the family? They're illegals. Why would a murderer have a right to get medical care or meet the family or travel? Why would a rapist or anyone else? Why is this all of a sudden these are special people? But the jurist immediately denied the request, which is part of the July lawsuit based on technicality. U.S. District Judge Roy Altman said that Governor Ron DeSantis and other officials hadn't been notified of the motion and asked for the request to be filled again. The law is part of a broader plan by DeSantis to limit social services for those seeking permanent legal status. Repeat that. Limit social services. What did they pay into the social structure to build that in the first place? Activists feel that the rulings are unconstitutional and say it ignores the right to due process. Now, wait a minute. How come illegals get constitutional rights? Americans don't have that anymore. In the suit, they brought up an example of a child whose immigration relief is pending, being transported to a doctor's appointment, or a Catholic deacon who helps drive people to immigration-related appointments. They're here illegally. That this law's only purpose is cruelty, says Spencer Adair, attorney at the ACLU Immigrants' Rights Project. It threatens Floridians with jail time for doing the most ordinary things like visiting family, going to work, and driving kids to soccer games. Now, wait a minute. How does it threaten somebody, Floridians, who are, they live in Florida, and they're American citizens? How's this threaten them? If the guy that know the guy's illegal, don't haul him. How's this threaten them going to soccer games or visiting family? Now, this makes no sense, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, and, you know, and I say this very humbly, because everybody in our audience, you have a very intelligent audience. I know that. I've known for a fact.
We do.
But how is it that people can see this? If I can see this, and I was told when I was a little boy that if I had, like, my IQ was 10 points higher, I could be a tomato plant. But if I can see it, why can't all of them see this? It's not threatening anybody. They just wouldn't go to the ball game. Just don't haul illegals around. Don't haul murders around. Don't haul thieves around. And at the same, not the same playing field. If they're illegal, they're illegal. No matter what reason they're illegal, they're illegal. And in my mind, that settles it. Any comments?
No, sir.
Are you learning anything? Am I learning anything? Anyway. Only 12% of teachers can afford homes close to the schools. Now, that's kind of a big thing. I did not know that. The number of teachers who can afford a reasonably priced home in their school district nationwide has collapsed just down to 12%, down from 17% last summer and 30% in 2019. I mean, the worst housing affordability crisis in a generation. So, Melody, only 12% of teachers, 1,200, can afford a home near where they work. That's not a good sign. Redfin's analysts and mediums teacher salaries in 2022 across 50 major cities for over 70,000 pre-K through 12 public and private schools revealed no teacher in San Jose and San Diego could afford homes within community distance. That's considered a 20-minute drive. The struggle stems from teachers' wages not keeping pace with inflation. Data from the National Education Association shows teachers only received 2% bump in pay in 21-22, and I understand that. Who else got more? It's not just teachers. As teacher salaries stagnate, housing prices continue to climb, a confluence of events that has forced many educators to start dropping out of the field, fueling a dire teacher shortage in some areas. Yes, I understand how they feel. That's rough. That's tough. That's really sad. But we're all in the same boat, aren't we, Melody?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, we could go on here, but we're running out of time. We truly are. But folks, we'll finish more things coming Friday, because I'll be sharing this with you Friday. They're putting in a 15-minute city in Arizona. Oh, yeah. Yep. Near Tempe, Arizona. They're putting in a city. You can't drive. You can't travel any further than 15 minutes out of where you live. So we'll get that Friday. But only about our time. What are you going to say in closing?
Wasn't there a 10-minute city, too?
I don't know.
Wasn't there a... We talked about those. I didn't know one was going to Tempe. It's hard to believe that, since that's being a college town and so forth. But, interesting. Very interesting. I can't wait to hear more about that. And we'll have to wait until Friday, so we're out of time, and we'll be back then. So please, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy